Greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos.
Hola.
Aloha. Weinihau. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Guten Tag. Bonjour. Half a day. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now, well, from the entertainment capital of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Complex of the Corporation of the United States of Listeria, it is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and I trust that you have your papers permitting you to listen to this program. If you've misplaced your papers, now that we have a national ID card, your radio or your computer will biometrically scan your facial features to assure that you have the requisite John Bolton milk mustache, in order that you're now allowed to keep listening. Yeah, go ahead, stand up to power. I dare you, huh? When your governmentment asks to see your papers, or at least your milk mustache, so that you do show your allegiance to mainly to the mortgage payment of cardiologists and oncologists everywhere. Well, go ahead, be revolutionary. Wear a soy milk mustache or a Lundberg drink rice mustache. Leave the animals alone. let them drink their own milk. Anyway, leave the animals alone. After all, they're too busy trying to keep their papers in order also, they don't really have time to fill your glass with their mammary secretions. No. What? You're not aware that the animals have to have papers too? Well, come on, under the Repuboil Can National Party, nobody has privacy rights anymore, and just like you, the animals have to have papers too. Yes, in case you haven't heard, the United States Department of Agriculture released the new draft strategic plan detailing the National Animal Identification System, or NAIS, and suggesting a timeline leading to mandatory participation by January 2009. The draft plan would require that all states be capable of registering premises with farmed animals by July 2006. It would also call for a shift from a voluntary identification system to a mandatory one in early 2009, requiring registration of all farmed animal premises and premises and tracking of all animals. So, and this will apply, the identification and tracking of cows and chickens and turkeys and goats and sheep and pigs and horses and other animals, any animal likely to be associated with disease. Match that cow's hoof prints over there to the database, all right? And hey, you, chicken, over there, I'm checking your ID. Raise your Reich wing. Speaking of the Reich wing, Hellbush. All things must be a threat to national security. Apparently, trees and animals and people, occupiers of the White House. Well, actually, I guess they had to vacate the White House this week and the other hallowed halls of corruption there in Congress when a Cessna went off course and. George Bush was riding his bicycle in Maryland at the time, and the Secret Service didn't even tell him about the threat happening. So it's like, well, I guess he just took his training wheels off, and he really had to concentrate on pedaling, so why tell him about a national threat? And then why take time away from his busy bicycling? Because then he wouldn't have time for his busy game of golf afterward, the war president. But anyway, he and his party and the Gestapo, they have their assault going on all living things. I'm sure this Bush guy, I'm sure he has tree envy. He's never met a tree he didn't want to chop down or an animal he didn't want to shoot or or a human he didn't want to give a burger, a vaccine, a bullet, and a nuclear blast. With the forests, maybe he needs to chop down the forest so he can have enough pikes to parade enemy heads around, you know? I mean, I don't know if you heard that, but it was on the Sunday morning Talking Head Fests last week. The orders to the CIA, should it locate bin Laden, the orders were to put his head on a plank, preserve it with dry ice, and ship it to Bush in Washington. Is there mass mad cow disease going on in Washington? Who are these barbarians, anyway? A little too much meat-eating going on there, I think. Bin Laden's head on a pike, on a plank, on a spear, preserved with dry ice? Why would that be? So it wouldn't spoil? I mean, I know you think I'm... I know you think I'm saying this because...
Oh, new one. I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
But I really think that a preserved bin Laden head is probably payback to the corporate meaty. It is sweeps time now, isn't it? So maybe it's time for celebrity politician Fear Factor. Today we'll be eating... I know it's awful. But is it that much of a leap from pigs' heads to bin Laden's head? Maybe you're not aware of today's new eating trends. And I saw an article in Salon. Is that the phone ringing there, Leo? That could be Aris coming up later in the show. Salon.com had this article on offal. O-F-F-A-L. Awful good? Well, it is really kind of awful. And it's why upscale chefs are serving euphemistically named variety meats. And that's by Patrick Keefe. And let's see, did I misplace one of these pages here? Wouldn't be the first time. Let me see, did I have a little thing on? Oh, Patrick Keefe is a fellow at the Coleman Center for Scholars and Writers at the New York Public Library. Okay. So anyway, in this article at Salon.com, and by the way, we're talking about offal, an offal menu. Offal, O-F-F-A-L. Dictionary definition, waste parts, especially of a butchered animal. Another dictionary definition, refuse, rubbish. Well, this article says... should you be whipping up a platter of crispy pig's tails for a cocktail party anytime soon, you might find after persuading your butcher to order the tails for you and getting the squiggly things home that they're bristling with little unappetizing hairs. Well, fear not. In his new cookbook, The Whole Beast, Nose to Tail Eating, yummy. British chef Fergus Henderson of London's trendy St. John restaurant advises, by the by, dealing with any slightly hairy extremities of pig, I recommend a throwaway Bic razor, hot towels and shaving cream not required. If you can't imagine hacking away at the peach fuzz on the curly-cue tail of a dead swine, think again. I'm continuing with the article here. The publication of Henderson's book heralds a new fashion in food already discernible in various hot restaurants in New York. Mad cow must be going around, I'm telling you. Offal, the origins and extremities, nose, cheeks, tail, feet of butchered animals, has become chic. Oh, man. Foie gras, which is not chic in San Diego. Restaurants are giving it up practically on a weekly basis, thanks to the Animal Protection and Rescue League, huh? Their efforts. Foie gras, truffles, and other traditional staples of gastronomic excess now find themselves cheek by jowl on upscale menus with, well, cheeks and jowls. When diners at Babbo, Mario Batali's elegant New York Italian restaurant, fork out $10 for testa, they're paying top dollar for a substance made by boiling the head of a pig, skimming off bits of brain, gristle, and other effluvia that bubble to the surface, and turning it into a salami. Is this irony, slumming, or a culinary example of the emperor's new clothes? The article continues. Though animal brains, intestines, hearts, and other variety meats, as they're known in the trade, have generally been assigned to the scrap heap in American butcher shops, in Europe, there is a venerable tradition of dining on tripe, sweetbreads, and the like. As long as you don't call them what they are, huh? Europeans, rich and poor, dine on offal. But it has remained, it has kept an earthy reputation. The Italians call it la cucina povera, or poor food, as a reminder of the utilitarian origins of these, oh, so tempting dishes, huh? American tastes, however, it says here, have been formed by a different history. Jack Ubaldi, founder of the legendary Florence Prime Meat Market in Greenwich Village and author of Meat Book, 1987, traces the American aversion to eating the heads, tails, and organs of animals to the late 19th century, when the surplus of cattle raised in the western states caused meat prices to plummet. We became a nation of muscle meat eaters and could afford to throw out the innards and other exotica, he writes. Oh, as if eating muscle is tempting too, huh? Yeah, it's all fear factor food to me. Anyway, you know, the article goes on, and I don't know, it's kind of gross. But then again, aren't all body parts that we eat? Isn't all meat awful? O-F-F-A-L, A-W-F-U-L. You know, flesh eating is just so repulsive. Even dinosaurs were giving it up, you know. Maybe it was too late when they finally became conscious. Hopefully it won't take you that long. Dinosaurs keeling over from heart attacks too, you know. I mean, going, well, our systems are really greasy. I mean, I guess if we all die, you know, people will be putting us in car engines in the future. But maybe the dinosaurs were actually coming around thinking, hey, maybe I don't want to get mad brontosaurus disease, huh? But there was an article, where was this? Okay, from the Associated Press. AP science writer Malcolm Ritter, who said, caught in the act of evolution, the odd-looking feathered dinosaur was becoming more vegetarian, moving away from its meat-eating ancestors. Maybe a lesson for you here, huh? It had the built-for-speed legs of meat-eaters, but was developing the bigger belly of plant-eaters. It had already lost the serrated teeth needed for tearing flesh. Those were replaced with the smaller, duller vegetarian variety. And here's a quote. I doubt seriously this animal could cut a steak with that mouth, said Utah State paleontologist James Kirkland, one of those describing the animal, based on bones found in East Central Utah. The scientists dubbed it Falcarius utahensis. Bones from hundreds or maybe thousands of these dinosaurs were discovered at a two-acre dig site south of the town of Green River in Utah. Nobody knows why they gathered there or what killed them. It ate plants, but its bones show a transition from its carnivorous ancestors. So there you have dinosaurs who were getting it, and maybe you should too. Coming up in just a few moments, we are going to talk about what George Bush is doing to our forests, and have a couple of activists coming up on that subject, Laurel and Jake, and they'll be talking to us a little bit later in the hour. Aris Latham from Jamaica on a great Jamaican getaway. You're invited. We'll talk all about it. And he's the raw food master chef who's in Jamaica. We'll talk about a wonderful getaway you can get away to. Or if I didn't want to end the sentence with a preposition, a wonderful getaway to which you can get away. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I invite you to support this show with a tax-deductible donation. It's very easy. You can go to the website, which is goveganradio.com, and just click on where it says donation, donate now, and donate now. Or you can make your check payable to Go Vegan, and Go Vegan is a project of 501c3 International Humanity Center. You can make that check payable to Go Vegan and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. That's P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. All this information, as well as this broadcast, as well as archive shows and all sorts of great information, is waiting for you at the website, goveganradio.com. If you want to email me, feel free to do so. It's bob@goveganradio.com. And you can call me. Also, it's 818-623-6477. And I thank you for listening to the planet's first and only commercial vegan radio show, Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We will continue, and we will attempt to protect our forests from the Bushtapo. I'm always talking about how delicious Veganaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veganaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veganaise? Or a tofu burger with Veganaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veganaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veganaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Webers, M.D., Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veganaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. And also from Follow Your Heart, don't forget vegan gourmet cheese alternatives, or people like to call them Follow Your Heart cheese alternatives. They melt, they're delicious, so you don't have to want for anything. You can have those nachos, the pizza, the enchiladas, without all that scary dairy. Also, don't give your family the bird. Give your family chicken-free chicken, all the taste, none of the bird. And also from Follow Your Heart, you get a few of their wonderful salad dressings are vegan. Might I suggest creamy miso ginger or balsamic vinaigrette or Italian vinaigrette? I believe that you will enjoy them immensely.
Oh, no, now you're going to give it to people. Animal burgers.
No, none of that around here. We don't eat animals, and we don't wear animals, and no, our shoes are not made of leather. That's all vegan. That's Earth Vegan footwear. All Vegan is the store. Earth Vegan is the footwear, okay? All Vegan in University Heights, where you can get Earth Vegan footwear. They're really stylish. You can go to the website and check them all out, earthvegan.us, and see the styles. I happen to have my navigators on right now. And I know these shoes are really comfortable because I do a lot of walking on city streets, and they're just totally comfortable. Why? Because of the famous design, the design by the Danish yoga master Ann Kalso, the negative heel technology. No, you don't fall over backwards when you wear these shoes. You just go, man, these shoes are comfortable. My back feels better. Everything's really, really cool here. And the shoes are stylish. And you can get them throughout Southern California. For example, in the L.A. area, you can go to World of Earth. World of Earth in Laguna, Oh My Soul, 3rd Street Promenade, and Marina Del Rey, Sidekick in Huntington Beach, and as I mentioned, All Vegan in University Heights, and visit earthvegan.us. No, it's not .com, it's earthvegan.us. Music? Musica, por favor. Maestro, please.
Ah, yes.
Blending.
And we continue.
Me.
Where is that? Maybe that's a Reese calling now on the phone. I have a couple of folks on the line here now. Oh, I did want to mention to you that there are actually jobs available in this country. No, they haven't all been outsourced. There are positions available with PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. You can go to the website, PETA.org, and see what's open. For example, activist liaison, attorney, broadcast production manager, campaign coordinator, cruelty caseworker, editor, farmed animal research associate, a MAC operator, marketing specialist, primate specialist, who's also a good public speaker, public service announcement coordinator, senior media officer, senior veterinary technician, web designer, web project manager. All of these positions open at PETA and even more. So call Human Resources at 757-622-7382. 757-622-7382. You can send your resume to PETA. Or you can email job openings at PETA.org. Okay, well, as I mentioned, George Devil U. Bush, it seems that he's never met a tree, an animal, or a group of people he didn't want to destroy, huh? This was from USA Today, Associated Press. The Bush administration and one of its biggest decisions on environmental issues moved last Thursday to open up nearly a third of all remote national forest lands to road building, logging, and other commercial ventures. The 58.5 million acres involved mainly in Alaska and the western states had been put off limits to development by former President Clinton 8 days before he left office in January 2001. I don't know. Is it tree envy on the behalf of Bush? Well, on the line today, we have Laurel and Jake, who are activists on behalf of the forests and have taken some actions on behalf of the forest. Welcome, Laurel and Jake. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Thanks for having us, Bob.
Great.
Hey, I'm doing good. Hello, Laurel.
Hey, Jake.
Yeah. So tell us what's going on, and you guys have been at ground zero amongst the trees. What's going on here?
Well, the Bush administration has been trying to get away with the largest logging project in the history of the Forest Service up here in the Siskiyou Mountains in southwest Oregon. And so we have been maintaining a campaign of civil disobedience, doing different creative actions, getting people arrested and stopping the log trucks and focusing national attention on this issue to try to bring the bell loudly for the whole world to see what's going on out here.
Mm. Are you hopeful at all? It's, every day you read the newspaper, and it seems like you can't do anything against the big Bush machine, but can we make progress?
Absolutely. I think that, what we have going for us is that the majority of people in this country feel the way that we do. Most people look at a map and they look out west and they think that national forests are already protected. And they can't believe when they see 500-year-old trees rolling out of the mountains in areas that they think are already protected. And so the Bush administration has been trying to go around the side here and fool people with the fire issue into things that they won't accept. And so they've been able to get into these old growth reserves and into these roadless wildlands. But we've been successful in getting CNN and the New York Times and you know, major national media to be covering this consistently.
Really? They took time away from Michael Jackson? That's incredible.
I know, believe it or not. And we have been making progress. The governor wrote us a letter a week ago, basically endorsing the position we've been saying all along. And so I definitely think that we are making their job a whole lot more difficult and costing them some serious political capital.
Okay. Now, you said that the Bush proponents put forth an argument based on fire issues. What are they saying?
Well, we had the nation's biggest wildfire in the summer of 2002 out here, the Biscayne wildfire, and it was huge. But it burned across a landscape that, you know, outside of Alaska, it's just about the most wild place in the United States that we've got out here in Southwest Oregon. Millions of acres of just gorgeous, unroaded, undeveloped landscape. And so they've come through in perfectly Orwellian terms. I think that Karl Rove has gotten into the business of forest management here and come out with the Healthy Forest Restoration Act. And one of the first, you know, projects of that is this Biscayne Fire Recovery Project, which sounds like a wonderful idea. But really, of course, it's a payback to the timber industry for their campaign contributions. And so they're using fire to mask what it is they're doing, because they're trying to tell people, well, this landscape's been destroyed and it's all dead anyway. We just want to go in there and make some money off of it. When in fact, of course, it's just a beautiful, you know, natural native forest that's regenerating just fine from a perfectly natural fire. And so that's one of the smoke screens, so to speak, that they're using, which is a confusing issue for a lot of people. Even folks who care about forests, often their first reaction will be, well, but it burned. Isn't that okay to go in there? And so we've had an uphill battle, but I would say that we are definitely making progress and bringing together really diverse coalitions of people from the local community, from around the country. Folks from all kinds of different backgrounds are actively involved in supporting this campaign by now.
And so, Laurel, you're in Oregon right now, and Jake, you went up there because of your concern for the forest, and I think you were arrested, weren't you? I think I heard about it on the news, or maybe even on Amy Goodman's Democracy Now.
Yeah, I moved from California up there when I quit my job, because I grew up there, and I was kind of always following, like, the issues going on in the forest, and it was a perfect opportunity for me to go up and get involved.
What made you want to get involved?
Well, the fact that these areas that they're going into are supposed to be protected, and not only that, but once the logging activities begin, like, the protected status will be, like, negated, and, like, it'll be lost for good. And I've heard different numbers, but there's only, like, 2-5% of the ancient forest left on this continent, and, you know, they're going in there and destroying this forest, which has developed and, like, evolved to be dependent upon fire, like, replenishing the nutrients. And so, you know, given that this administration's insane and they're going up there destroying this, it was a good chance for me to go get involved.
Right. And, you know, people keep thinking, oh, you radical tree-hugging, you know, environmentalists, but you just retired from the military.
Yeah, yeah, I was trying to... I wasn't going to bring it up, but I got medically discharged from the military, and you know, within a couple of weeks, I had my stuff packed up and most of it sold, and I was on my way up there, and I got up there, like, a day or two before the logging started, and there was a base camp set up where people could come in and plug in, get involved, and meet the community and interact with everybody.
Oh, you radical military environmentalist, you. Laurel, what kinds of direct action or civil disobedience are people taking there?
Well, there's been so many, it's hard to keep track at this point. The very first arrest made was a 72-year-old local woman who took a simple act of civil disobedience and sat down in the road on the bridge that crossed the Illinois River, which is the only way they could get in there. So she was the first person arrested just by standing her ground and refusing to move. And then behind her on that day, the very first day logging began, was a truck that was placed across the road so that nobody could get by it, that was stuck into the ground with a steel tube that had holes in it for activists to be able to lie down on the ground and lock their arms into it. And so that was one action. There was a local woman who had her bicycle lock around her neck to the steering wheel of the truck on that day. And then from then, there's been all kinds of different engineered direct actions, from tripods and bipods suspending activists off the ground with intricate rope work setups that, you know, if they were disturbed, it would endanger the life of the activists that were hanging there. And there's been some pretty dramatic actions taken, with all women's action, where 22 women, including a number of elderly women and a pregnant mother, were arrested refusing to move from that same bridge, while a 22nd woman hung off the bridge from a truck rope on a platform, and so that she would be dropped into the river if they tried to cross and cut that rope. And there's been some urban actions as well. A tripod blocked traffic in downtown Portland for a number of hours in front of the Forest Service headquarters. And so those have been simultaneously successful in slowing down the logging and costing the logging companies money, but also providing great fodder for the media, who has been taking the images and the stories and spreading them worldwide.
Well, now, I thought you said that the excuse for going in there was you know, fire protection. And what are they going in and you see trees getting cut down and it's actually logging?
Absolutely. It's classic industrial commercial timber harvest, what they're doing. They've said a number of things along the way about that they're protecting communities or that they're reducing fire, but really they've been forced at this point to admit that it's purely economic activity. And, you know, the sad thing is, of course, is that it's not even helping the local communities here, because people flock to this area for, you know, hiking and camping and, you know, backpacking and river rafting and all kinds of ecotourism. And, you know, people aren't going to want to come and see stump fields and plantations. And so it really hurts the local economies, and they're bringing in loggers from as far away as Utah and Idaho. And so pretty much it's a political payback. But more than that, they're trying to set a precedent, because if they can get away with it here, then they can get away with it in other places. And so if they're able to overturn the protections for endangered species and for roadless areas and for old-growth forest reserves here, then in the future they'll be able to say, well, see, this is allowed. We've done it here, and now we can do it there. And so that's really why we're taking our stand here. And I think that we have definitely made it so they're not going to be able to put forward another project like this very easily.
Mm. What's the impact on animals?
Well, tremendous, tremendous. I mean, these trees, of course, are habitat for dozens and dozens and dozens of kinds of creatures, from the smallest lichens and insects up through the bats and the birds and the mammals. And we still have, you know, bears and cougars and all kinds of mammals and birds out here in these woods. But also, these rivers are federally designated wild and scenic rivers, and they're full of salmon and clear-flowing water. And so the impact to on the habitat and to the animals is really large.
Okay. So if people are concerned, what can they do?
Well, there's lots of things. People can support the campaign in all kinds of ways. From a distance, you know, we've been able to take a very little amount of money and stretch it awfully far. And if people want to make donations, that's a big way to help. People can visit a number of websites. Our organization is called the Oxygen Collective, and our website's o2collective.org. Also, the independent media centers have been doing really good coverage at our local...
Oops. You there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose Laurel?
Dropped Laurel. His cell phone sounded like it was kind of coming and going.
Oh, okay.
But he was, I guess there's some other groups, too, that are involved. There's the Siskiyou Project, and their website is, siskiyou.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a campaign phone for the people that have been camped out there, and their phone number is 541-390-9701. We've been kicked off the public lands because we've been camping out there, so that people who want to get involved can come in and plug in and network. But like the Forest Service has kicked us off Forest Service land, the BLM has kicked us off BLM land. We've been kicked off Forest Service land.
No wonder you came back down to Southern California.
Right.
You've gotten kicked out of everywhere. Right?
But okay. so So we were trying to establish like a storefront in Cave Junction, which is the nearest town to where a lot of the logging's happening. We're working on like developing a public face, but right now it's in the works. But if people did want to get involved, there that's the phone number 541-390-9701.
Okay, and was Laurel back, or do we have Laurel? No. Okay, so I guess that would cover what we got going here, and hopefully, Leo, is that Laurel or Aris or?
I just got cut off, but I'm back.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we were just going over. Jake was mentioning a few phone numbers and websites, and we have maybe another 30 seconds or 60 seconds. So
I just
have
would like to say that.
All right. Well, I would tell people, come up and visit. Unfortunately, this battle is far from over, but it's exciting to be up here. The morale is high, and the mountains of Southwest Oregon are totally gorgeous this time of year. It's green and luscious, and we'll take good care of you if you come. So come on up and visit us, and it's an exciting way to take a stand against the Bush administration and a very beautiful place to do it.
And where are you exactly?
We are in the Illinois Valley of Southwest Oregon. The local town is Cave Junction. But I would, people would recommend people contacting us through the websites or through some of those telephone numbers at first, and we can tell you all everything more you need to know.
Okay. And it was the Oxygen Collective?
Yes, which is o2collective.org.
Okay, o2collective.org. If you're interested in the battle to save the ancient forests, please get involved. And I want to thank you, Laurel and Jake, for being active and doing what you're doing.
Thanks,
you too, Bob.
Thanks, Jake.
Yeah, thanks, Laurel. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Be well, you guys.
Okay.
Bye. Later.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. And this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. We will continue. Okay, it is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And I'd like to get into some of the events going on, and then hopefully Animal News and Views, and hopefully we'll hear from Aris Latham calling from Jamaica. This year's Global Day of Action Against Procter & Gamble is next Saturday, May 21st. Last year, over 140 boycott P&G events took place all over the world, from Auckland, New Zealand to Aberdeen, making it one of the largest days of action of its kind in the world. P&G continues to experiment on animals when hundreds of other companies have stopped. P&G has even taken over Gillette. Remember years ago when it was the Dump Gillette campaign and Gillette agreed to stop animal testing? Well, now P&G has taken over Gillette, So to me, it's Dump Gillette again. Anyway, what can you do? Well, you can be a P&G coordinator. You start by joining the P&G boycott, refuse to buy Procter & Gamble products, help spread the word to others with some of the outreach ideas. You can tell your local shelter and all your family, friends, and colleagues. Let's see, is that going to be Reese on the phone there? Tell your friends and colleagues with companion animals never to buy IAMs, because that is Procter & Gamble. There are brochures that you can get from IDAUSA.org. You can call 415-388-9641. 415-388-9641. Is that Aris on the line there? Yes? Okay. All right. Well, I will continue with our Procter & Gamble protest information, but make sure you get a hold of In Defense of Animals, IDAUSA.org. And also we'll be talking about Animal Rights 2005 coming up in L.A. July 7th. Go to AR2005.org. But there's a wonderful getaway that's come to my attention, and I think you're going to be interested in this too. The next one takes place July 13th through the 18th, and then there's another one November 9th through the 14th. Health retreats to Runaway Bay in Jamaica. And, oh gosh, it's... you have food workshops and Tai Chi and yoga and organic tropical fruits and belly dancing and just Qigong and herbal walks, coconut water fasting, healing mineral baths, all in fabulous Jamaica. And the food will be fabulous too, because our guest here, Aris Latam, calling from Jamaica, is the master chef in charge of the culinary delights. And welcome, Aris. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm excellent. I'm doing real good. How are you?
Excellent myself. And thank you for calling us from Jamaica today. And we appreciate your being with us. Now, you've been a vegetarian for quite a while and raw vegan, too. For how long?
Well, I've been a vegan for 35 years and all raw now for 29 years.
Wow. That is amazing.
Oh, yes, sir.
I know that you've been written up in the Washington Post, and you train raw food chefs, and you were voted one of the top U.S. vegetarian chefs by Vegetarian Times magazine. And who are some of the people, the luminaries, who might have sampled your food in the past?
Well, I tell you, the list is pretty extensive. Chief Justice. Not Chief Justice, but Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor is one. I've had people like Dick Gregory, of course, Victoria Kovinskis, Demi Moore, Ben Vereen, you know, Prince.
Ah.
It's quite an extensive list. But, you know, one thing I'd like to share with you is that I've recently been honored to be mentioned in the Oxford Encyclopedia of Food and Drink in America.
Wow.
And this is the latest edition. They have a tremendous expose on the history of vegetarianism in America, starting from ancient times, right up through the centuries, up until modern day. And in the modern day period, they climax with the raw food movement. And within that context, they mentioned Dr. Ann Wigmore and myself as the two people who have made the greatest impact in the raw food movement.
Well,
they acclaim me as the father of gourmet ethical raw food cuisine in America.
Wow.
So I'm quite honored to be mentioned in such a context, especially with Dr. Ann Wigmore, and also while I'm still alive to see my name in that print.
Oh, that is amazing. So I'm sure people are going to be quite tempted to get away to the health retreat to Runaway Bay in Jamaica. And people can go to the website for information, also information about you, at vegsoul.com, VEGSOUL.com. And there's a phone number, which is 1-888-VEGSOUL. So what attracted you to raw living foods yourself then, Aris?
Well, you know... When I started as a vegan, we're talking 1970, you know, I was on the college campus then. And, you know, of course, we had the counterculture movement, you know, the flower power back to the land during those times. So, and which was actually equivalent to the whole thrust that we see that is going on with the raw food movement now. So during those times, you know, the only people that I actually knew that were really, that I could touch, that were into raw food was Dr. Ann Wigmore, Victoria Skolvinskis, Dick Gregory, and Dr. Alvina Fulton. You know, so getting into it and doing my research, I was so fascinated with the whole cuisine world and being in a position where I could actually defend myself and I had a real actual choice as to what I ate. And doing my research, I figured out that, you know, of course, as human beings, we've been on this planet for at least 1 million years based on recorded history, and it's only been 100,000 years since the advent of fire. So I think we need to actually start our argument, you know, pre-vegetarianism. You know, we have to start our argument from the basis of fire. That's why the cuisine that I've developed, we call it sun-fired foods. So obviously, before the advent of fire, humankind never ate any cooked food for 900,000 years. So I decided that it was time for me to get off the chain link and stop being a part of the experiment of trying to adapt to eating cooked food. So now it's 29 years.
There weren't microwaves back in the caves back then? I'm shocked.
There were solar waves, you know, beaming through
solar
the
caves. Waves. Yeah, solar waves. That would make sense. Okay. So if people were to come to the retreat, and you're the chef, and again, I advise people to go to vegsoul.com, what sorts of foods would they experience, and what would they learn from you also?
Well, one of the things that I do is I actually teach people how to open up their creative culinary energy. So ideally, you know, I'm not going to enslave them to recipes. I'm going to actually teach them how to create. But, of course, we will use some recipes as a platform, you know, so that they can stay within, you know, certain parameters. But the type of things that they would learn how to do would be exotic salads and dressing, of course, all the dairyless calcium dishes, sea vegetation dishes. We're talking about different cultured foods like our sea cheeses. And, of course, being here in Jamaica, we have quite a tremendous array of really exciting, you know, protein foods, especially things like the ackee. You know, if you're not familiar with the ackee, you really need to come to Jamaica to get a hold of this one. Ackee is a plant protein that is very rich, very satisfying, and we make things like ackee croquettes. You know, we take the ackee and process it with soaked almonds, the local almonds here, and we develop it into patties and put it in the dehydrator and create these croquettes out of it. And, you know, it's an extensive variety of dishes that we do create, and we use basically foods from around the world. You know, we tap into all of the plant kingdom and really just get into it and show people how to create with what's available in your own environment as well.
It sounds wonderful, and tell us a bit about Runaway Bay, Jamaica, and what people might expect there. Is it as beautiful as the brochures seem to show?
Oh, it sure is. Well, if they listen very carefully, they'll hear the crickets in the background right now. So I'm right here in Runaway Bay. I'm up in the hills, and we have beautiful waterfalls. One of the places that I take them to experience is what is called the fire water. It's a mineral spring that has a very stable sulfur content. And when you're in the spring, in the pool, jacuzzi-style environment, we just strike a match, and, you know, there's a flame. The water just goes up in flame. There's a flame just dancing right on the water. So it creates a nice focal point for meditation. So we do this like first thing in the morning, even before daybreak, and it's really a very interesting environment. Also, we do the mud mask, the full body mud mask. We just go in the hills and get the red clay and just put it on our body from head to toe and lay out in the sun and let it bake. And then when it bakes, we just brush it off and do and get all of the dead cells out of the system. There's one day of a total coconut water flush during the 7 days of the retreat, where we would just put you on a system where the entire body just gets totally flushed out. And also there's an exotic fruit feast day where the highlight is these exciting mangoes that we have here. This is all happening during mango season, the peak of mango season. So there's a variety of about 15 different mangoes that you get to experience in a gourmet style here.
It sounds wonderful. And again, Tai Chi and yoga and belly dancing and herbal walks and detoxification and all of that. It sounds wonderful. How can people reach you, or should they be? You want them to reach you, or?
Yes, they can reach me. They can email me, sunfire@vegsoul.com.
Okay.
Or if they want to actually call me direct, they can call me at area code 876-441-0124.
Okay, and again, that the email is sunfire@vegsoul.com. So for people who are interested in this wonderful getaway, just go to vegsoul.com, or you can call 1-888-VEGSOUL. And Arisa, I want to thank you for being with us today. And what is your favorite dish that you make for yourself?
Oh, man. Wow. Okay.
Hard to pick one out.
My favorite dish is what I call the Aki seafood. So it's made with Aki, with seaweed, and it has a very high mineral content. It has a high ocean flavor, and it's full of Scotch bonnet pepper, real Jamaican hot pepper.
Sounds delicious. So okay, wonderful. So thank you, Arise, for being with us today, and we hope lots of folks will join you in Jamaica on one of these wonderful Runaway Bay retreats.
Okay, and one other thing that's very exciting that they really should look forward to is our line of paradise pies. These are fresh fruit pies.
Okay.
Okay, and the highlight is the mango coconut.
Well, I happen to have an audience that loves to eat, so.
Okay.
I'm sure
I'll be here ready to serve them.
Okay, we look forward to seeing you in Jamaica. Thank you so much, Arise Latham, for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob.
Okay.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Sorry, this is Jake again.
Oh, how'd you get here?
The engineer hooks me up. I gave you the wrong number.
Okay.
The correct phone number is 541-659-2682.
Okay, and that number is for?
It's the Wild Siskiyou Action Campaign phone. That'll be the phone number to people who are generally at the camp, wherever the camp is, and if anybody wants any information about what's happening or wants to, you know, get plugged in, that's the number to call.
Okay, one more time on the number then, Jake?
541-659-2682.
Okay, thanks for correcting the information there.
Oh, thank you for allowing me to.
Okay. Talk to you later. Okay, I think we better get to my people who support this show. Some of the wonderful advertisers here, because without them, I can't pay for this show, okay? So, let's see here. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, and how can I forget? I'm there so often. And speaking of raw foods and a place that really caters to the raw food enthusiast and all vegans who eat cooked food too, I strongly recommend you head on over to Rancho's Natural Food Market at 3918 30th Street in North Park in San Diego. Vegan except for honey, all vegan except for honey. And I think you're going to love what you find there. The deli is fantastic with delicious entrees and soups, 100% vegan, as I said. You can get your organic produce and bulk items. You can take your organic produce and have it juiced right there. Rancho's has an organic salad bar with raw dressings and wonderful juice bar, organic wheatgrass juice, even organic salsa. And, if you want those sweets, there are healthy ones there for you to enjoy. And Very often you'll find food from baked goods from We Make It Vegan. And Rancho's Natural Foods Market, again, enthusiastically welcomes all raw food enthusiasts with a wide selection at 3918 30th Street. Don't forget, right next door, Rancho's Cocina Mexican and Vegetarian Cuisine, 3910 30th Street. And there are two other restaurant locations with close to 100 vegan menu options at each one. And you find one at 1830 Sunset Cliffs Boulevard and one at 4705 Point Loma Avenue. And if you want to pick up a bottle of goji juice, you can do it at Rancho's. Yes, and I hope that you will pick up a bottle of Himalayan goji juice. We've been talking about this on the air quite often now, and I hear from people all the time who are drinking it, loving it, and it seems to be addressing many of the health problems that they suffer. But this is something, I mean, even if, you know, for depression, for insomnia, and then, you know, there's a lot of history related to treatment for cancer and heart disease and, you know, all sorts of problems. You can go to my website at govegan.freelife.com. govegan.freelife.com. You'll find out all about the amazing goji berry from high in the Himalayas. It grows, it's the berry that grows closest to the sun. And yeah, it's got to have something going for it if it's up in that altitude, huh? And people there in Asia have they have a two-week celebration every year to the goji. It's legendary. People believe that it adds to long life and happiness, so definitely check it out. Himalayan goji juice available from govegan.freelife.com or go on into Rancho's Market. Now, also, if you're addressing health concerns, I want you to know about Chang Acupuncture in San Diego, providing acupuncture for alleviating pain and stress reduction and... you know, that means back pain and headache and migraine and also with issues related to pregnancy. And you have, let me see here. For example, time flies. Am I going to get to animal news and views? You have well, also pain relief from arthritis, auto injury, carpal tunnel syndrome, fibromyalgia, knee pain, migraines, muscle spasms. All of these are historically relieved by acupuncture. And again, so pain management, infertility issues, I advise you to visit Julie Chang, Chang Associates in San Diego. Chang Acupuncture and Associates. That's at 7969 Engineer Road, Suite 209 in Kearney Mesa. The phone number is 858-495-0771. 858-495-0771. You can email info@sdhealthylife.com. info@sdhealthylife.com. And you will be treated by a very well-qualified person in Julie Chang, who has a master's in traditional Oriental medicine, magna cum laude from the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine in San Diego, a bachelor of science in microbiology and molecular genetics from UCLA, and California Acupuncture Board, nationally certified and designated a diplomat in acupuncture, and nationally certified and designated diplomat in Chinese herbology. Definitely... you're looking for a really good, effective acupuncturist, you've come to the right place. Chang Acupuncture and Associates, 7969 Engineer Road, again, 858-495-0771, info@sdhealthylife.com. Okay, just about out of time. Go to idausa.org for information on the Procter & Gamble boycott for next Saturday. Animal Rights 2005 coming to L.A. Go to the website ar2005.org for information on the event. It's at the Westin L.A. Airport, July 7th through the 11th. I hope to see you there. And please support this show with a tax-deductible donation. The information's at goveganradio.com. Or you can make your check payable to Go Vegan and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. Thank you for listening. Please stop eating animals. Go Vegan.